Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
That's how you know the segment's going well, Ron Brown. You get
another intro?
Yeah, you get another intro.
Those were great classic quotes. I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, Bob Surratt's intro is up to about 6 or 7 minutes to start his show these days. So you keep on going up, Ron. There you go.
Another 30 years and I'll be there.
I really enjoy it. I think it also works so well because you're such a dedicated news guy to see this other side of you. And also just because you really explain these movies and motivate me to watch these things more than anyone else has, that I really appreciate it.
That's
Ron.
Good. That's my job.
So where are we going to start today, my friend?
Well, I'm going to be reviewing a big-budget art house horror film called The Bride. Maybe you've been hearing about it. They've been all over social media and all over, just about everywhere trying to promote this movie. It's a retelling of The Bride of Frankenstein, starring Oscar winner Christian Bale and Oscar nominee Jesse Buckley as the bride, soon to be Oscar winner, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. Also, Mr. Nobody Against Putin. That's a documentary from Britain by way of Russia. H is for Hawk. I really liked a lot. That's a true story about an English woman who deals with the grief of losing her father by raising and training a goshawk. Plus, 30 years after it began, Ghostface is still killing the people of Woodsboro in Scream 7.
Seven. Okay. Yeah. Well, where do you want to start? You want to start with The Bride today?
Yeah, Jesse Buckley's having a moment, winning every single award so far for her role in Hamnet, and deservedly so. If you haven't seen that one, put that one on your list.
Yeah, it's there.
She stars in The Bride with Christian Bale, and talk about having a moment. Frankenstein is having a moment, too. This is another Frankenstein movie. Two desperate lovers. They are on the run from the law, and they've got nothing to lose. That's a theme that Hollywood has used for decades. But for some crazy reason, writer-director Maggie Gyllenhaal has decided to make the lovers Frankenstein and the bride.
Like, there really actually are those characters.
You don't ask me why.
Okay.
Don't ask me why. She never really does. It just, like, fits. It fits the tone, the mood, maybe the marketing. I don't know.
I think it's probably the marketing.
They do look great. In The Bride of Frankenstein, the bride never speaks. Did you ever see the original?
Yes.
She just likes a lot of well. She looks great.
Looks great and just...
Elsa Lancaster? Elsa?
You'd know more than me, but
Elsa
I have
Lancaster,
seen it, yeah.
I think, yeah. But The Bride in Gyllenhaal's movie, well, she has a lot to say. Now, this isn't a remake. She's just appropriated the characters and placed them, in crime-riddled Chicago of the 1930s. You don't recognize it as Chicago. If they didn't say it was Chicago,
you wouldn't know
it was Chicago. But trust me, the ICE agents of today would think twice before messing with these two outlaws. The Bride's a monster movie, film noir mashup, but it's more film noir than monster movie. It's pretty short on story. It's not a strong point, but it is very long on style. It looks great, and those costumes, I mean, the brides, that with that makeup and the hair and all the other people that she kind of recruits along the way, it just looks great. And there are great performances by Bale and Buckley, no surprise. The story's not the point, and it's certainly not a strength. It's stitched together, really, from a lot of other movies.
It's a Frankenstein.
It's a Frankenstein movie. It's kind of like, I mean, you'll think about Rocky Horror Picture Show, Bonnie and Clyde, of course, Young Frankenstein, steals right from Young Frankenstein, The Bride of Frankenstein, of course, Poor Things comes to mind, Natural Born Killers as well. I mean, they've told the story of outlaws on the run
for sure
many, many different times in many different ways. This is the first time it's been Frankenstein and his bride, though. The cast includes Maggie Gyllenhaal's brother Jake and her husband Peter Sarsgaard. And it also stars Annette Bening, of all people, and Penelope Cruz.
Good cast.
Yeah, it really is. They don't have a lot to do. Like I said, the writing isn't the strong point.
But it looks good.
The story isn't the strong point, but it's fun.
Okay.
And I think that's its purpose. I mean, she's been out on tour, promotional tours, saying that it's more of a feminist message, and it's the truth about women and how they're treated and how they're abused. And you don't really get that from the movie. It's kind of fun. It is violent, so
if you like that, there you go.
Be careful of that. Yeah, it's a stylish and fun night out at the movies. I give The Bride 3 out of 5 brownie points.
All right, not too bad, not too good, right in the middle.
Well, it is entertaining. It is what it tries to be, I think.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
We are with more Ron Brown brownie points, and we talked about The Bride, which you gave 3 out of 5 brownie points. Yes. Let's move on to H is for Hawk.
Yeah, it's not about an ice hockey team. I want you to know. So
okay,
I know
good to know.
You had to go right there. Mm-hmm. H is for Hawk is a fascinating movie about a fascinating true story of an English woman who raises and trains a goshawk after the death of her father. It's therapeutic for her and maybe a little too much. Hmm. She begins to identify with the hawk. She names it Mabel, and then she retreats from her job, her friends, and her family. That's a slow progression. But Claire Foy is the star, and she's absolutely terrific. Maybe you've seen her in, like, The Queen.
Yes.
And she's done a couple of other really good movies, but she's really fantastic in this. The scenes where she trains the hawk are absolutely engrossing as Mabel learns to hunt in the wild and then return. Great nature photography, I'm telling you. She lives with the hawk and keeps it in her apartment like a pet.
Hmm.
I was thinking, you could do that? I mean, I guess so.
I guess, yeah.
It's a true story.
What do you feed it? Or I guess she let it go and get its own food.
Yeah, she does. She does. She goes and trains it out in the wild. So eventually, she doesn't want to do anything with anybody other than her hawk, Mabel. She won't answer the door. She won't answer the phone. What she's really doing is repressing her grief and channeling that into falconry. It's a difficult challenge that requires a lot of time and dedication. Now, the reason why this is so compelling is because they do show scenes of the woman, Helen, and her father, and they just have a great relationship. And so when he dies unexpectedly, she's just absolutely devastated. It's based on the best-selling memoir of Helen MacDonald. I did not read that, but mm-hmm. that's got great, great, great reviews for the book as well.
Interesting. So it's tackling grief, but trying to avoid that line of not getting too deep into what you're using as therapy.
Yeah, you lose yourself and then all connection because you just can't deal with it. So it's a fantastic movie. It's available for rent on all platforms right now. It came out a little earlier this year. It was actually up for the BAFTA for the best motion picture. Didn't win, but the fact that it was nominated tells you it's a quality movie. I give it 4 out of 5 brownie points.
I'm adding this one to the list.
Yeah.
I like deep thinkers like this.
Yeah, I would like you to see this and tell me what you think of it. I liked it a lot.
Okay, where are we going to next?
This is a documentary called Mr. Nobody Against Putin. That's nominated for an Oscar this year in the best documentary category. Mr. Nobody is Pavel Talankin. I hope I pronounced that right. Mm-hmm. He's a teacher in a Russian elementary school. And Putin is, you have any guesses?
Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin. Yeah, no surprise there. He's the president of Russia, by the way. Pavel's in charge of recording special events at a school. And after Russia invades Ukraine, now this is a documentary, remember, he's ordered to document the lessons that the teachers have been ordered to give to the students. They're elementary school students. And the lessons are, of course, baseless propaganda about the war in Ukraine. And also there's military instruction involved. So he resigns in protest. He's pro-democracy. But then he decides, you know what? It's better to record this stuff and show it to the rest of the world.
So what they're teaching in the classrooms.
What they're teaching in the classrooms. The scripts they're giving. What the teachers are told to tell these students about history. What the teachers are told to tell these students about what's happening in Ukraine or Crimea and how Crimea decided to defect from Ukraine to join Mother Russia because it was so much a better place.
I don't think that's what happened, Ron Brown.
So that's what's fascinating about it. But you see it right there in real time and you see the teachers, and some of them are all in and some of them are not. They're like, we should be teaching real stuff instead of propaganda. So it's very well done. He decides to smuggle his tapes out of the country, where he and some sympathetic documentary filmmakers from Britain turn his footage into this compelling film. It's a real lesson in what happens when the government dictates the school lessons, when the government becomes just one party and tells everybody else what they should be thinking and what they should be saying, and what happens when the government is allowed to rewrite history. All of these things are involved in this. Mr. Nobody against Putin. That's 4 out of 5 brownie points for me. It's kind of like Roger Moore behind the Iron Curtain.
So the footage that we see in this movie is footage that he took
yes.
while in Russia.
while in Russia at the school as the kids are, quote unquote, learning about the war in Ukraine.
And obviously he's out of Russia. Well, don't tell me what ends up happening or how it goes, but does he detail that journey of getting out of the country too?
A little bit. It's not that kind of a thriller.
It's not like a spy escaping.
No, I mean, it does, of course it does mention it. It kind of mentions it right at the beginning, you know, and then it brings you back and you get to know the guy. He seems like someone you want to sit down and have a beer with, you know. He's a really good guy, and it's a really good documentary. I give Mr. Nobody Against Putin 4 out of 5 brownie points. You can rent it for viewing right now.
I got to watch that one. That's a good one, too.
That is.
And also at the top of my list, baby, Scream, what number?
Scream, we're going 6 of 7.
7.
We're going into 7 now, believe it or not. It's the latest in one of the most popular slasher franchises in all of film history. The original Scream came out 30 years ago. When you were just a young lad.
I was 12, and I remember watching it with my friends. We absolutely should not have been.
Almost everybody saw it. It was a really good movie, the original was. That's how you get a franchise, you know? So you make a really good first movie. So this film stars Neve Campbell as Sidney Prescott, as you'll remember. Campbell was in the first movie, as well as David Arquette, Matthew Lillard, and Courtney Cox. They're all back reprising their roles from the first movie.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of a reboot, and frankly, if you like the other Scream films, you'll get more of the same here. Ghostface has a knife, and he uses it a lot, and the people of Woodsboro are in danger, especially Sidney Prescott's daughter, who's being targeted. That's kind of
he's getting revenge on the daughter of the woman he couldn't kill in the first one.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Someone who, you know, is calls Ghostface, because I think Ghostface has died a couple of times.
A couple of 3 times or so, yeah.
Yeah, it delivers what the franchise always delivers. Gory deaths, plenty of screams, and plenty of references to other horror films, including the previous Scream movies. They call them the Stab movies in this movie, Scream. It's kind of like, I compare it to like a Scooby-Doo movie, but with blood.
And no one masks off at the end of it? No, where they pulled it?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Say that. It is doing very well at the box office, so audiences are loving it. I did see, like you, the original 30 years ago. I found it entertaining then, especially the self-awareness of slasher movie cliches and the way that they poked fun of them. It was very self-aware. But I give Scream 7 2.5 out of 5 brownie points. I think it's for, you know, if you're new to it, you know, I mean, you might as well go back and see the original.
Yeah.
But it's not going to, you know, it's not going to waste your time. If you like the Scream movies in the first place, you're going to like this, I think.
2.5 brownie points for Scream 7. Mr. Nobody Against Putin gets 4 out of 5. H is for Hawk, 4 out of 5. And The Bride, 3 out of 5. Ron, we're out of time, my friend. I'm sorry. Okay. But
let's do this again sometime.
Let's do this again. How about next Thursday? I love that.
That's a good plan.
Someone says, where can we find Ron's picks? Well, we'll post them online at WGNradio.com. Ron Brown, take care, my friend. Good stuff as always.
That's a wrap.